Morning. Today's daf in Bab Metzia is Tes Vav. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Wishing everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova. We are on Yudalam and Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud on Yudalam and Beis. And we're starting today with Itmar. Yeah. Five lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara now is going to be discussing ability to get reimbursed. Itmar mochesed al chaver v'nimtza shein shalom. You sell property to your friend, and it turns out that it did not belong to him, otherwise known as it was stolen property. So Rav Amar Yesh Lamos v'yesh lo shevach. So Rav is of the opinion that there's Mos and there's Shevach. Meaning, Rav is of the opinion that that obviously what's going to end up happening is that there's going to be a reimbursement for the property that's taken away from him. So what kind of reimbursement does he have to look forward to? So Mos means the money for the sale of the property. That makes perfect sense. In other words, he bought a property, meaning so he paid whatever the agreed upon amount was for the property, so that he's going to get back. And Yeshua Shevach and Rav says, and you know what? Not only is he entitled to reimbursement of the property, but is also entitled to reimbursement for any improvements that he put into the land. Meaning, consider, now he bought a property, he thought the property belongs to him. He now invested money into improving the property, so that's what we're going to call Shevach. Now, Shevach, by the way, this is a general point that we could be making over the course of today's daf. Shevach can be talking about improvements where you are actually putting money in, and Shevach could also be also referring to the appreciated value of the property, you know, the price fluctuation in properties, and properties tend to go up. So Shevach could be referring to that as well. But for our...
Who's making that part? The seller or the owner?
No.
Sheva. Who pays the
Sheva? Well, just one second. Right now, we're just talking about what kind of reimbursement he's going to be receiving.
Right.
So he's going to, in other words, from the mocher, from the seller.
Why not? Maybe it should be from the guy who owns it.
Okay, well, I'm going to get to that. Okay, that's a good question. I'm going to get to that. So Amochus el chaver, so nimtza shein shalom. Rav Amar Yesh lo mos v'yesh lo shevach. So Rav is of the opinion that what he's entitled to reimbursement for is the mos, is for the money that he paid for it, and for the shevach as well, and for the improvement that he put into the property. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes v'yesh lo shevach, that he's entitled to the shevach. Rashi is a little bit lower where we are in the Gemara. So let's say he improved the property either by fertilizing it or hoeing the property. Before the nigzal, meaning the victim took it away from him. So now you go back to the mocher, you go back to the seller, and you collect shevach. So now Rashi over here, Phil, deals with your issue, and that is, well, I don't understand. In other words, the land is going now back to the nigzal. It's going back to the original owner with the improvements. So now, shouldn't the original owner say thank you, not only thank you very much for putting the improvements in the property, but now shouldn't the nigzal have to pay the buyer for that improvement? So Rashi says hanigzal yiten hashevach sharei heishivu karka mishubeches kigon shegazlan mishubeches v'yachsifa b'yad hagazlan. So it could very well be, says Rashi, that the nigzal is not going to have to pay whatsoever. Let's say, for example, says Rashi, that when the property was taken away from him, the property was in a state of being Meshubach, and it was already in an improved state, and then when the Goslin took it, so not only is he a Goslin, but on top of that, he just doesn't know how to treat property, and he ruined all the improvements that were made in the property, and now he sold the property, and now the buyer put the improvements back. So when the property returned back to the Nigzal, so from the Nigzal standpoint, We're back to zero. I mean, this is exactly how the property was stolen from me. So therefore, of course I'm not going to reimburse anybody for anything. I'm the victim. I'm not reimbursing anybody for anything. And I didn't gain when I got back the property. Fine. So now it's going to be incumbent upon the Goslan, in this case now, who is also the Mocher, to reimburse the Lokeach for not only for the amount, but also for the Shevach as well. Okay, so, yeah.
Did we not learn that there's no verified card?
There's no what? There's no gzela by karka. No gzela by karka, of course, means that the one who stole it doesn't have the name Goslin. In other words, you can't call him a shame Goslin. But in other words, he pushed a guy off the field and he sold it.
Defraud.
Yeah, right. He defrauded somebody. So now we're just talking now about the reimbursement of the person who didn't realize that he was sold nothing. So what is he going to get reimbursed for? So Rav says he'll get reimbursed for the sale amount, and he'll get reimbursed for the shevach as well. Here comes the interesting part. Shmuel Amar Mosyesh Lo Shevach Ein Lo. Shmuel's of the opinion that yes, of course he's going to get reimbursed for the sale amount, but he's not going to get reimbursed for the improvements on the property. Now, at this point in time, let's not say why. Even though it demands an explanation. He put money into the property. He sunk money into the property. Property that he thought was his. And meanwhile, he's not going to get reimbursed for the shevach. Now, why should that be? So, now, let's say the following. Let's say when they drew up contract between buyer and seller. So, seller said to buyer, now remember, seller's a Gazlan, but for the purpose of the contract, let's just keep it at the fact that he's a seller. Seller says to buyer, look, I'm selling it to you, and I'm going to take full personal responsibility for the sale, whereupon which, if it's taken from you, I'm going to reimburse you for the value of the land, and I'll reimburse you also for any improvements you put in the land as well. And so let's say that is now outlined in the contract. According to you, Shmuel, are you now comfortable with the fact that he's going to get a reimbursement of not only the purchase price, but also the shevach as well? So, time is Shmuel Mishum Dela Pir Shivcha V'Hacha Pirei Shla. So, is that really the missing component according to Shmuel? The fact that it was just simply not outlined in the sale contract? And if it were outlined in the sale contract, so then, of course, the buyer would get a reimbursement for the shevach? Odilma, or maybe what's behind Shmuel is something totally different, which is, time is Shmuel Kim Dela Seikarka Mechzeke Ribis. Maybe, according to Shmuel, you know what? It looks like ribis. It looks like interest. Now, let's be careful about how we explain this. Meaning, it's not interest. It is definitely not interest, but it looks like interest. Consider. What happened over here is that the person just bought a piece of property. Now, the seller had no right to sell the property, considering the fact that he sold the property. Fine. But from the perspective of the buyer, so what did he do? He just gave the seller a wad of money. Okay. Right, $100,000 he just gave him for what he thought was the property that he bought. Now the property is taken away from him because it wasn't the seller's to sell the property. Fine. Now what's going to end up happening is that the seller is going to take the money and return it back to the buyer. So $100,000 went from buyer to seller. That $100,000 now goes back from seller back to buyer. Now if the seller was now going to have to reimburse not only the principal, but also the shevach as well. So now consider $100,000 went one way, and $110,000 now is going in the other direction. And so the Gemara says it looks like ribis, it looks like interest. Now obviously it's not. Please consider that, right? As far from the buyer's perspective is concerned, he thought he was buying property. He was not lending money. So to call this interest obviously is not accurate. On the other hand, from an appearance standpoint, it looks like it is interest. And so what the Chachamim did is they banned it based on the fact that it looks like interest. So what is behind the reason of Shmuel? How come the buyer is not going to get reimbursed for Shevach according to Shmuel? Is it because A, it was not articulated in the contract, or B, because it looks like ribis? Now when asked this question, so he sometimes says yes, sometimes he said no, and he did not have a strong holding on this, on the reason behind Shmuel. Otherwise stated, he wasn't sure. Itmar Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Then the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, Maos Yesh Lo Shevach Ein Lo Afapi Shapir Shlo Shevach. And he says very clearly that even if contracted in the sale contract that I'm going to reimburse you. If this land is taken away from you, I'm going to be reimbursing you for the purchase price and for the improvement. So you will not, he will not receive a reimbursement for the improvement. My time and the reason why is Kim Dekarka Elo Schar Ma'osav Omeid Venotel, because there is no karka, and so therefore Schar Ma'osav, the cost of money. That's another way the Gemara uses to describe interest. Interest really is the cost of money. Money has value. Giving money to a person has value. And so therefore, interest can be collected. But that's, of course, on a normal transaction. When you are lending from one Jew to another Jew, so you are prohibited from interest. Again, this is not interest in that it wasn't a loan to begin with, but because it has the appearance of interest, so therefore the Chachamim prohibited the buyer from getting reimbursed to Shevach. Okay, so this is now what we have is a basic machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. When you have a buyer whose property is taken away from him because the seller did not actually own the property, so he is now entitled to reimbursement. What is he going to get reimbursed? So according to Rav, he's going to get reimbursed for a purchase price and for Shevach. And according to Shmuel, only purchase price but not Shevach. And the reason why, as the Gemara now has concluded, is because it looks like Rivas. Eisvei Rav LeRav Nachman, the Gemara now challenges based on the following.
Rav is not concerned. Rav is not concerned.
No.
But not.
No. No, not in this case.
I guess it's not a big.
In other words, it's a sale. It's not a loan. Okay. So Eisvei Rav LeRav Nachman. So Rav asked the following question to Rav Nachman based on a Mishnah. Mishnah in Gittin says, this is the fifth parak of Gittin. We keep coming back to this Mishnah again and again because it keeps impacting our discussion. Certain institutions that were made in order to protect. And when is the basic idea of this Mishnah is as follows. It is when it is an unknown cost. We do not know exactly how much it's going to be. So even though there is an obligation for a person to pay for these various payments, but because it's an unknown, so therefore there is not going to be any type of lien attached to this obligation. It will be an unsecured obligation. In these examples that are given, let's look at Rashi. Rashi will just simply take us through these examples. Mazon Aisha Vabanos. Rashi writes, Tanak Suvish and Makaba Alav, Ate Yasfe Bevesay, Mizanam and Nechasai, Vechain Habanos Benan Nukvan, the Amalachaminai, Inun Yahava Yasfan Bevesay, Omizanam and Nechasai. Ad Shetilchin Leguvrain. Okay, so I did a wonderful job reading the Ksuva. So the Ksuva has written in it that in the event that I pass away, so my estate is going to support you. And our daughters, our estate is going to support our daughters until they are married off. These are all contractual, ksuva contractual obligations that a husband makes to his wife. So, when he dies now, his estate is obligated to make these payments. And these are contracted obligations. So contracted obligations, so in theory there should be a lien against these obligations. So that means that not only should the estate have to pay for it, but in the event that any of the estate is sold off, the properties have a lien attached against these obligations. Ein motzin, finishing up the Rashi, ein motzin la'echa mikol elu, minachas mishubadim. We simply do not exercise such a lien. No lien exists on these obligations. Mimnei tikkun olam, look at the next Rashi. Shema ta'oma yitzhufu l'kuchos, akach ein l'cha adam shalokech sada mechavero. If you would have liens attached to these types of obligations, nobody would ever buy a piece of property. Consider, what's going to happen? I'm going to buy a piece of property, and then all of a sudden it's going to get taken away from me based on an obligation that I didn't know. Or not only did I not know, let's say I even knew, but I didn't think that support would last for 10 years. I didn't think support would go for 20 years. In other words, these are totally unknown amounts of obligation. Rashi writes, this can turn into an unending obligation. Now that Rashi is on the next part of the Mishnah, fine. That's the basic idea. So when the Chachamim see that you have an obligation where it is not a definitive amount, so that even though it's a contracted obligation, there is no lien attached to property against these kinds of obligations. Let's go now back to the Mishnah, because that part's good, that part's interesting. That's not the part of the Mishnah, however, we want to focus on. We want to focus on the next part of the Mishnah, which is we are not going to be extracting, not for peros, not for the consumption of fruit, and not for shevach kakos, and not for improvements. So says the Mishnah. And now the Mishnah says, because of Tikkun HaOlam. As a result of Tikkun HaOlam, I'm not going to be collecting. Now, the Mishnah does not say, well, now we're not collecting at all. In fact, the Mishnah says you can collect these obligations. The only thing the Mishnah is banning is attaching a lien to these obligations. But that, of course, means that they're obligations. And you have to pay them. And the Gemara now makes exactly this point. Tikkun HaOlam, Mishabdehu Dela Mafkinan, Habim Nechor Mafkinan. So we won't be collecting these obligations from leaned properties, but we will be collecting these obligations. V'ksani mihan, one of the examples that is given in the Mishnah in Gittin is Shevach Karkos, improvements to the property. So if improvements are made into the property and now he's demanding a reimbursement, so granted there's no lien for this obligation, but it's an obligation and you got to pay. Now, if you're Rav, that's exactly right. But now, if you are of the opinion like Shmuel is, where you do not get reimbursed for the Shavach, how did you learn the Mishnah in Gittin? It's a strong question. So, my law, so the Gemara says, now, aren't we talking about a case, where you're purchasing a from a Gazlan, like we're describing? So the Gemara says, lo babachov. So the Gemara says, no, we're just talking about a simple creditor. A simple creditor. Now you see over here, it's easier. Meaning because with a creditor, so let's say now the borrower sells his property. Is that sale a valid sale? 100%. In other words, there's a lien on the property, but that lien on the property doesn't ban him from selling the property. Buyer beware. In other words, the buyer now has to understand that because there's a lien attached to the property, property might be taken away from him. But the sale over there is 100% valid. It's a legitimate sale. So the Gemara says, Iba Bachov, Emeresha, the Gemara says, okay. So you're telling me that the Mishnah Gittin is talking about a Bachov. And that's why he's going to get reimbursed now, not only for the purchase price, but for the Shevach as well. And the reason why is because in the case where he's buying the property from a borrower, that sale is a totally valid sale. So the Gemara says, Emeresha, but then let's consider now, in that same Mishnah Gittin that we were just learning, Emotzil Nachilas Peros. Well, one of the things that the Mishnah mentions is the fruit. Now, Iba Bachov, Bachov, mi Ifle Pere. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. I understand that a creditor, in order to get paid back his loan, when he has to exercise his lien, so he'll take the property. I understand he'll take the Shevach, he'll take the improvements of the property as well. I get that. All in satisfaction of his obligation. But he's not taking Peros. He's not entitled to Peros. A Balchov is entitled to take Shevach, but the Balchov is not allowed to take the fruit. The fruit, he does not have a lien on the fruit. The fruit are detached from the property. The fruit are movables. He does not have a lien on the fruit. So, Elapshita begoes of a Nigzal. So the Gemara says, so that Mishnah and Gittin, at least the clause of fruit, is talking about a Gazlan. So the Gemara says, Amidireshah because of an exile, Sefanamid because of an exile. So now, if that clause of the Mishnah is talking about goes of an exile, the clause of Shevach is also going on, goes of an exile. So Midiriya Hakadis of a Hakadis. So the Gemara simply sidesteps that by saying, look, the Mishnah in Gittin is giving a number of examples. Do not think that every one of them is talking about the same case. They're not. The case of extraction of Peros is talking about Gozov and Nigzal. The case of extraction of Shevach is talking about a Balchov exercising his lien to take back the property. Where there, he could take back both the property and the Shevach as well. So the Gemara says, V'halo t'nei hachin, the Shevach ha'koz ketzo. So the Gemara says, okay. We're still on the attack on Shmuel. Shmuel says that when you have somebody who, after purchasing a property, had the property taken away from him because the seller was really a Gazlan. So Shmuel's of the opinion that he can get reimbursed his purchase price, but he cannot get reimbursed the Shevach that he puts into the property. The Gemara says, why don't we consider now the following Braisa? Braisa reads as follows. Shevach Karkos Ketzan. Give me an example of Shevach Karkos. Harisha Gazlan says, Mechaver v'hayyotze mitachas yadokishu goveh. Goveh tzeker minachas mishubanu v'shevach goveh minachas minachorin. As a braisa, in the case where I have a gazlan and the property is taken away, now from whom we'll see in just a moment, property is taken away, so he will get reimbursed for both the purchase price, and on that there's a lien against that obligation, and he also will be reimbursed to Shevach as well, just but that's an unsecured obligation. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, now, if we're talking about we're taking away from the Gazlan, the Gemara says, now what does that mean? We're going to be collecting from him. Meaning, what does that mean, collecting? We're simply taking away the property. So the Gemara says that what the Braisa must be talking about is that after the Gazlan stole it, the Gazlan then in turn sold it to somebody, and now the property is going to be taken away from the buyer, and for that the buyer now is going to get reimbursed purchase price and Shevach. And the only difference being is that purchase price, that is a secured obligation that the Gazlan now has to pay the buyer, as opposed to the Shevach, it's an unsecured obligation. But again, what the Braisa seems to be saying very clearly is that the buyer is entitled to reimbursement for both purchase price and Shevach as well. Amar Leilav Terutzi Kama Teratzi Terutz Nami Bebalchov. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. In other words, in order to say this Pshat in the Brisa, you need to do a little bit of editing. So all I'm going to tell you that we're going to do is a little more editing. And that is that we're talking here in the case of a Balchov, the Brisa is talking about a creditor. And since the Brisa is talking about a creditor, again, by the case of a creditor where he is taking the property away from the Lokech, from the buyer of the property, that was a perfectly legitimate sale. And that's why the buyer is going to get a reimbursement for purchase price and for Shevach as well. Tashma, the Gemara says, right, let me quote another Brisa. Peros Ketzad. When this is the Brisa commenting on the Mishnah Gittin. And the Mishnah Gittin says that for the reimbursement of Peros, it is an unsecured obligation. So the Gemara says, Peros Ketzad, Harish Gatzel Sadam Mechaver, Vahir Yatsam Metachat Yadok, Kishu Gova Gova, Esekam Nechatsam Meshubadim, Uperos Gova Menechasim B'nei Charin. Once again, we're now discussing a scenario in which you have a Goslan who stole property and turned sold the property, and now everything is taken away from the Lokeach because it wasn't the seller's to sell. So it's all taken away from the Lokeach, and he's going to get a reimbursement in this case for the property, the Shevach, and the Paris as well. So says the Braisa. Now, Hechidami, Elamik Dictani Gazlami Mangave. Now, again, who are we taking the property away from? In other words, even though the Braisa doesn't mention that the Goslin sold it, but it's got to be. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about collecting from the Goslin, meaning the property's taken away from him, period. There's no collection. So the Gemara says, Alav Kigon Shagazl, Son of Mechaver, Machol Acher. So the case of the Braisa must be where? After the Goslin stole it, he then sold it to somebody else, Vishbicha, and the buyer put in improvement into the property, and he's going to get reimbursed for the improvement. Again, it sounds like that when you have somebody whose property taken away from him by the original owner, he's going to get reimbursed for the purchase price and for the improvement as well. And once again, this is difficult for Shmuel. So the Gemara says, again, here's what we could say. We could say a pshat in the Braisa. And that is that there is a collection from the Goslin. What kind of collection for the Goslin is there? Meaning, aren't you just simply taking away the property? Gemara says, no. We're talking about a Goslin who stole a field filled with fruit, ate the fruit, and on top of that, also destroy the property as well. So, now the Nigzal, the victim, is coming to collect the Karen, the principal value of the property. And you see, in this case, just taking back the property is not going to be enough. Because the Goslin, not only is he a thief, also he's a mazik. He did damage to the property. So now he's going to have to pay for that depreciation value. So the Gemara says, "Ban nigzal likvos peros galvim nechas b'necharin." So as far as paying for the depreciation, so that is an obligation the Goslin has to pay to the nigzal, and that's a secured obligation because he's got to pay the principal value of the property. Now all the extras, the shevach, the peros, that also he has to pay, but that's just simply an unsecured obligation. Okay, Rava Baravuna Amar. We're now on the top of Tesvav Amid Aleph. The Gemara says another pshat is that it's kagon shenatlu masikin. Well, we're not talking about where the Goslin sold the property. We're talking about a case where somebody just simply took away the property from the Goslin, meaning he's a thief, but he's not that powerful. So, not that powerful. Nadlu Masikin, take a look at the top Rashi and Tezvav Amid Aleph, reminding us of what we learned at the end of Baba Kama. Rashi writes, Anasimakum, we're talking about where basically they were non-Jewish bullies. Who? Nadlu Amid HaGazlan, they took it away from the Gazlan. Umach Masal. And why they took it away from the Gazlan? Because they could. Meaning that once the property was no longer in the hands of the original owner, so the Goslin was somebody that they could deal with. And we learned back in Baba Kama, so now it is as a result of the Goslin's ineptitude that I was about to say a direct result. In other words, this is a grumma type of damage, but ultimately it's because of the gazlan that the land is now taken away. So now the gazlan has to, says the Mishnah Baba Kama, reimburse the victim with the value of the property. So now that's what the Brisa was describing, not the sale of the property, but simply that the property was taken away from the gazlan by these masikin, and therefore it is the gazlan's responsibility to reimburse them with the value of the property. So back to the Gemara. So that is now two answers the Gemara just gave in explaining the Brisa, and in doing so defending Shmuel. Meaning Shmuel says that when you have a buyer of stolen property, so when the property is taken away from him, he's going to get reimbursed the purchase price, but not the Shevach. That's Shmuel's opinion. The Brisa seems to indicate otherwise. So the Gemara now gave two different explanations of how to explain the Brisa and yet defend Shmuel's position. Now the Gemara points out that these are two different answers, and why didn't each Amara like the other Amara's answer? Rav Amar lo Amar Karaba Baravuna, Harehi Yotzei Mitachas Yado Bedina Mashma. So the Gemara says that Yotzei Mitachas Yado sounds like it's taken out, it's taken away from him Bedina, meaning in a court proceeding. So that is why his answer seems to be fit in better with the words of the Brisa. And Rav Baravuna lo Amar Karava, Harei Yotzei Mitachas Yado Be'ina Mashma. On the other hand, Rabba didn't like Rava's answer because Yotzei Mitachas Yado sounds like Be'en, meaning it sounds like the property is being returned back to the original owner. The property is taken away from him. Okay, so each answer has a better way to fit into the language of the Brisa. Rav Ashi Amar Litzana Ketani, we're going to give a third answer, how to explain this Brisa and yet defend Shmuel's position. So let's say we have the following scenario. The Gazan stole the property. The property that he stole was full of fruit. And what did he do? Achos haperos. And he ate the fruit. We're talking now about the Gazan. And then afterwards, he then, after having eaten the fruit, he now sells the field. So balokech likvos karen govim nechas meshubadim. Ba nigza likvos peros govim nechas menecharin. Okay, so now Rav Ashi explains the Brisa beautifully. Meaning now, as far as the buyer is concerned, so he's going to get reimbursed on the purchase price, which is correct. Meaning he laid out the money for the property. Property now is taken away from him because the seller was not the owner. The seller was the thief. And so now the buyer is going to get a reimbursement of the full property. And as far as the payers are concerned, remember, it's not the buyer who ate the peros, it was the gazlan who ate the peros. So therefore, the gazlan is going to have to reimburse him for the peros. Now, as far as the peros are concerned, so yes, there's an obligation that the gazlan has to pay back the nigzal for the peros, but it's an unsecured obligation. Bein l'rava, bein l'rabba b'ravuna, malva al pehu, milva al pehinu, gov b'nechas meshubadim. So the Gemara says, now both according to Rabba and according to Rava b'ravuna, this is a milva al peh. Meaning, what are we talking about over here? We're talking now about an obligation to reimburse. An obligation to reimburse is an obligation, but not contractual. And so if it's not a contractual obligation, so therefore there's no shibun. And so why should these be secured obligations? So the Gemara says, you're right. The point is very well taken. However, when the buyer takes the seller to court, so then the court is going to, of course, demand that the seller reimburse the buyer. And once the court demands to do so, now it's a court order that is now turning into like a contractual obligation. Kishamad bedin v'hadar zavin. So ihachi peros nami kishamad bedin. So the Gemara. Ihachi peros nami. So the Gemara says, well, really, it's a court order. Well, if it's a court order, so then, and we say that the court order now turns into what is like a contractual obligation. So the Gemara says, so if now what he's demanding a reimbursement for is not only for the property, for the parents as well, so, and the court ordered that he is going to get reimbursed for both the property and the peros, so then shouldn't there be a shibut on both purchase price and peros? So the Gemara says, Kisham abedin ala kerem, v'lo amar abedin ala peros. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, when he took him to court, he demanded the purchase price as reimbursement, and he didn't make a demand for the fruit. So the Gemara says, "Umay pasco." The Gemara says, "Well, that's arbitrary." Meaning, if in fact he's entitled to both, why didn't he make a demand on both? So the Gemara says, "Tama demosa kitava nishka karnatava bereisha." So the Gemara says, "Well, that's just it is not it. It is slightly arbitrary, but the Gemara says, but it is a little bit intuitive because consider the first thing that he's worried about is I cannot just believe it. I bought this property and it's now taken away from me, meaning I need to get my money back. So the first thing that a person does is he demands reimbursement on the principal value, on the purchase price of the property. Now it also happens to be that there was all this fruit in the property and that was also taken away from me. And as a secondary thought, so he's also going to make a demand on that. But the Gemara says, but the Bryce is dealing with what's first on people's mind, and that is the purchase price of the property. Okay, but in a chinami, in other words, but within this now approach of the Gemara, if there was a demand on the reimbursement of the peros, and the court ordered that there should be a reimbursement of the peros, that also turns now into a secured obligation. So the Gemara says, now we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of where we started today. Okay, so again, we're now talking about where after a person purchased a piece of property is taken away from him by the original owner because the seller was a thief, and so now he's going to get reimbursed. So according to Rav, he's going to get reimbursed for both purchase price and for shevach, for improvements that he puts into the property. According to Shmuel, he's only going to get reimbursed for purchase price and not for shevach. The reason which we articulate at the beginning of the shiur today is because it looks like ribbis, it looks like interest. To which now the Gemara says, what about another statement that was made by Shmuel? We're in the middle of Tezvav Amar Aleph. So Shmuel says instructions to a sofer. When you're writing up a contract, you're going to be asking the following question. And after asking the following question, then you're going to put it into the contract. Meaning, just make sure that you get consent on the following points, which are Shufra, Shivcha, Peira, that you are, there is going to be full responsibility and full reimbursement for the property, for the improvement, and for the fruit. And so this is what now the sofer is writing into the contract. So, b'mayiba b'alchov, now, what are we talking about over here? So we're talking about a regular loan document. So the Gemara says, meet Yisle Peira. The Gemara says, yeah, but you know that when a lender exercises a lien, so he's going to take the property, he's going to take the improvements, but the lender is not entitled to peros. He's not entitled to the fruit. We know the Shmuel himself said that the creditor, when exercising a lien, can only take the property and the improvement, but is not entitled to take the fruit. So it must be over here, we're talking not about a contract of a loan, we're talking about the contract of a sale. And in the contract of the sale, make sure, turn to the seller and say, are you ready to take full responsibility for the sale? Meaning if the property is taken away from him by the original owner, you'll take full responsibility of the sale, including purchase price, improvements, and fruit. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yosef, I'm sorry, period. Or I should say rather question mark. And if that's what Shmuel is now instructing his sofer to do, clearly now Shmuel is assuming that the buyer is going to be entitled to reimbursement of purchase price and shevach and improvement.
But it has to be stipulated specifically.
As long as it's stipulated, it's going to be done.
Yes.
Earlier, Shmuel was of the opinion, even if it was stipulated, it's an uncollectible. It goes uncollectible.
So.
Okay, so but this is a question. That's exactly what the Gemara is asking on Shmuel. So I'm Rav Yosef, my skin can go sheish lo karka. So the Gemara says, okay, but this case is going to be different because in this particular case, the seller has property. And we get to ask the question, and so what? And the seller has property. That's very good. How does that change matters? Take a look at Rashi over here. Ki gen sheish lo karka le gazlan. The thief, in this case, the thief is the seller. He's got property. Zeh shemagbil lo kech karka v'lo maos tahashta lo mech zeh karibis. So, the way Rashi understands the Gemara is that once the seller is making his reimbursement, on the purchase price, on the improvement, and what is he using as a means of reimbursing? Not money, but property. So that obviates the problem of interest. The Gemara says, what? Just because you're paying an obligation back with property and not with money, is that really going to obviate the problem of interest? So Amar Lay, and the Gemara's quote, this is the term Sa'a B'Sa'a, when we get to the fifth parak of Bava Metzia, we're going to hear it again and again, we're going to get so familiar with that term. It's basically Sa'a B'Sa'a is a way of describing Ribis Midrabbanan, meaning it's rabbinic interest, like what we're discussing right now. Meaning this is not a real case of interest, but it looks like Ribis, and therefore it is going to be prohibited. And just because the person is paying back with property as opposed to cash, not going to make a difference in terms of even rabbinic ribis. So the Gemara says, yes, you're right, but please consider that in our case over here, the case never started really as a case of a loan. The case started as a case of a sale. Now, granted, the seller had no right to sell it, which is why Shmuel says it looks like a loan. But in terms of what the intention of the two principal parties are, is that it was a sale. I thought I was buying property. Granted, I learned subsequently that it wasn't his property to sell, and I'm going to get my money back. So effectively, I gave him money, and I'm getting money back. And yes, I'm going to get more money back because of the Shevach. But because it originally was a sale, or at least that's what it was conceived as, so therefore, if the extra amount is coming back in the form of karka, it is not a problem. Igadam, the Gemara says a nice, slightly different response to this question. Amrav Yosef, hachabam, my skin could go in shekana miyado. So the Gemara says the reason why over here it's okay for to be reimbursed with the Shevach is because there was a kinyan siddur that was done. And so therefore it's okay to get reimbursed the Shevach. So the Gemara says, really? And you're telling me that when there is a rabbinic interest problem, when the rabbis, when the chachamim banned interest, you want to tell me that with a kinyan siddur, so and then it's okay? In other words, that doesn't make it okay. So again, the Gemara says, Hamalei hasam havava achazvini. But the Gemara says, again, but we'll go back and we'll make the same point again. Yes, if the original transaction was a loan, and the rabbinic and the interest is a rabbinic prohibition, so then I totally agree with you. Making a kinyan siddur is not going to help. But over here, the original transaction was thought of as a sale. Gufa. We're in the middle of Tesvav Amud Aleph, towards the second half of the Amud. Amar Shmuel Balchov Govetz Hashevach. We're now going to the creditor. Creditor, when he comes to exercise his lien, the borrower defaulted on his loan. He's now going to go after the property, so he can go after both property and improvement of the property. Right? It goes without saying, but we'll say it. In other words, that's when the property by itself is not enough to satisfy the loan. Obviously, the creditor cannot collect more than the loan value. But in other words, but if the property itself doesn't satisfy the loan, and the property plus the improvements do so, so you can collect the Shevach, the creditor can collect the Shevach.
If it exceeds, the margin goes back to the...
Right. In other words, correct. It stays by the buyer. It stays by the purchaser. Okay, so Amar Rava Teda Shekach Chosev Lo Mochel Lokech. So Rava says, and you should know that This is what seller is writing in the contract to the buyer. I'm going to make everything good. Right? These are three synonymous terms that basically says, all right, I'll clean it up. Meaning, if there's a mess, it's kind of like in our colloquial terminology that we use. Like, if there's a mess, I'll clean up. Right? I'm on cleanup service. Right? Zvini Elen, this sale, Inun, Ve'amle'inun Ve'shavchinun, and your effort and the improvement, Ve'ekum Kadamach Ve'tzavi Zvina. The nun, the kabo aloi. So once again, a little contract law for today. This is the term, the clause that's used in the contract that seller is writing to buyer, and you see in the contract itself, he writes that I'm going to reimburse you for the property and for the shevach and for the improvement in the property. It sounds pretty clear now that what could be taken away from the buyer, a creditor can come and take away both the property and the improvements as well. And you see this, in other words, we're just looking at this from the other end. You see this by virtue of the fact that the seller is writing to the buyer in the contract, I'm going to reimburse you if necessary for the purchase price and for the improvements as well. So the Gemara says, so now, buy a gift. You know, buy a gift, so you don't write this kind of language in the contract. In other words, it's a gift.
There's no obligation of gift. And there's no... What's obligation of gift?
Exactly the point. So now in the case of a gift, so if I gift the property, so you want to tell me that we're not going to, that the creditor is not going to be able to take the shevach amalei in. So the Gemara says, well, that's right. Meaning, that's not a question, that's a conclusion. Right. In other words, when I give somebody property, so the creditor can take the property, but the creditor cannot take the shevach. So the Gemara says, well, that's funny. So now you're telling me that the recipient of a gift is going to be in a better position, more protected than the person who bought the property? And again, the Gemara says, I'm really in. The Gemara says, yeah, right. In other words, again, it's not a question. It's a conclusion.
There isn't any money. It's just getting a gift.
Right, but what the Gemara is so incredulous about is that you would think that from the perspective of the buyer, he should be at least as much protected from the creditor as the recipient of the gift. Meaning the recipient of the gift, the shevach is not taken from him. From the recipient of the buyer, the shevach is taken away from him. Gemara says it seems strange, but the Gemara says okay, but that's right. Amalei in yafa v'yafa. So the Gemara says okay, but again, it's not a question; it's a conclusion. Amar Rav Nachman Hamasisa Masaya Leila Marshmul V'huna Chavrein Mukim La B'Milachrine D'Tanya. So the Gemara says now I'm going to quote a brisa, and the brisa is going to support you, although I know others explain the brisa differently. But first, let's see the brisa. You sell a property to your friend, and it's taken away from him. So when he comes for his reimbursement, so for the purchase price, so that is a secured obligation. For the shevach, it's an unsecured obligation. But again, they're both obligations. He's going to get reimbursed for both principal, the purchase price, and for the shevach. So this is a support that the Baal Chov is able to take both the property and the shevach as well. The Gemara says now, when I presented the brisa in front of Rav Huna, so he said, no, you misunderstood. The brisa is not talking about a regular Baal Chov. It's not talking about a creditor. It's talking about a gazlan. So the Gemara says, Tanyidach, we learned another brisa. If you sell property to your friend and it improves, and the creditor now is coming to the seller because the seller also defaulted on his loan, and now seller says, sorry, I don't have any money to pay. So now creditor runs over to the buyer and takes away the property. So tarfa kishu go. I'm sorry. And the Baal Chov, the creditor, comes now and takes the land away from the buyer. So the Gemara says that what basically he's allowed to do is he's allowed to take out the shevach, the improvement, or the yitzia, or the investment that was made into the property. In either case, the brisa says that the creditor is allowed to take it. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. According to Shmuel, if we're talking about, now in other words, the brisa is not clear whether the reason why there's a toreif is because either he's a bachov or he's an exal. He's a victim of theft. But in either event, however, it's difficult. Because if we're talking about a gazlan, remember Shmuel said that you do not get the shevach reimbursed. You only get the principal value reimbursed. So the Gemara says, now if we're talking about a Balchov, so Shmuel was of the opinion that you do collect Shevach. So the Gemara gives a couple of suggestions. One suggestion, says the Gemara, is that we're talking about a Gazlan and Kigon Sheish Lo Karka. And remember, we said earlier that in the event that the seller has property, so then under those circumstances, the seller is going to reimburse the purchase price and the Shevach. And even though Shmuel says, I'm concerned about Ribbis, but if the seller has property, so then he could pay that extra with the property, like we said earlier. Inami Bishkan Biyado, or like we said earlier, Kinyan Suter. And Ibai Thema Babachov Lo Kasha Kan Bishevach Hamagia Liktafaim Kan Bishevach Shina Magia Liktafaim. And the Gemara says, or maybe, we could say that it's talking about a Bachov. Now, here, the Shmuel earlier said that he's allowed to take back his Shevach and the creditor is allowed to take back a Shevach, and then the buyer is just going to expect a reimbursement. And in this Braisa, it says that the Baal Chov is not allowed to take the Shevach. So the Gemara says, we'll just simply divide Shevach into two categories. Shevach that arrives to the Katef, to the shoulder. Shevach that does not arrive to the Katef, to the shoulder. What is the difference? Rashi on the top of Tezvav Amud Beis writes, Karavli Katzer, meaning that when the improvement is actually growing grain in the ground, and it's so high it's shoulder length, so basically it stands to be cut. So the Gemara says, if it's close to being cut, but it still needs the property, so it basically, we're going to treat it like Peres Gemurin. We're going to treat it like fruit. Now, when we say fruit, we're normally talking about fruit which is detached from the ground, which a creditor is not allowed to collect. And the Gemara says that's how we're going to treat shoulder-high wheat, because since it is basically standing to be cut, we're going to treat it like Peres. Huh? It could also mean that as well, but we're just simply interpreting the Braisa in order to defend Shmuel's position. Meaning Shmuel normally allows for the collection of Shevach by the creditor, but here in the Braisa, Shmuel said no. So what the Gemara now is saying, that in defense of Shmuel, the Braisa is talking about where it's wheat and it stands to be cut, and therefore it's like Peres. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I've been in the courtroom and I've seen Shmuel award creditors to be able to collect the property and the growth on the property, and even when the wheat was shoulder high. So the Kasha had the Masik by Kishir Ara Vishavcha had the Masik by Ela Kishir Ara. So the Gemara says, yes, but you have to know basically what was the value of the property in correspondence to the loan amount. If it only approached the, in other words, if the land by itself satisfied the loan, so then he only awarded the land. If the land by itself did not satisfy the loan, so then he included the wheat as well. Now, Hanich Lamande Misle Zuzalokeach Lamatsi Masakle Labachov, Shaper Lamande Amarki Isle Zuzalokeach Matsi Masakle Labachov, Namale Ilo Havale Zuze Hava Masakin Mikula Ara, Hashtad Lesa Zuze, Havli Garvadar Ba'ara Shir Shavchai. So the Gemara says, now remember, there is a debate. We saw this in Baba Kama. We're going to reiterate this debate again right now. And that is, that when the creditor comes to the purchaser of the property, can the purchaser of the property say to the creditor, you stop right there. I'll tell you what. I know you're owed money, and I know you have a lien on the property. I'll tell you what. Let me satisfy the obligation. I want to keep the property. Property's so worth it to me, I'll satisfy the obligation. Obviously, I'll go back to the seller for an attempted reimbursement. But in other words, can he stop the creditor from coming and seizing the property and pay off the loan? So this is a debate amongst the Amorayim. So the Gemara says, so if the answer to that question is yes, you can, so now let's construct the following argument. Let at least the buyer of the property say to the creditor, I'll tell you what, you owe the money, fine. I don't have any money to pay you right now. And as far as taking the property, I can't stop you. But the Shevach, the shoulder high wheat, basically should be viewed as money. Let me at least give you the shevach in correspondence to the loan. Let me at least keep a parcel of property commensurate to the amount of the wheat that is basically could be viewed as money. So my skin can go and show us a potiki. So the Gemara says, fine. In other words, in theory, that is a strong argument, but we're talking this case over here is very specific. It's talking about where the property was turned into an apotegi, which means that the property was earmarked towards the loan. It's basically how we construct our liens. The liens are property specific. In this case, the lien is property specific, and that's why the buyer can't say to the creditor, I'm going to stop you, I'm going to keep part of the land to myself. You can't, because the property was earmarked towards that loan. Okay. All right. Pause over here. Okay, let's recap. Okay, over the course of today, we talked about the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. When you have somebody who buys a piece of property that did not belong to the seller, and the property obviously is going to be taken away from him, so what kind of reimbursement can he expect and can he hope for? So Rav says reimbursement of purchase price and shevach, and Shmuel says only the reimbursement of purchase price, but not the reimbursement of shevach. And the reason why is because Shmuel says it looks like ribbis. As we went through the Gemara today, even Shmuel himself is going to modify his position. There will be certain circumstances where the buyer can expect some sort of reimbursement for shevach, in a scenario where the seller had property, in a scenario where there was a kinyan seder. The Gemara explained he can expect it. Contrast that with what Shmuel said also over the course of today, which is that in case of a regular creditor who comes and exercises his lien, so then the buyer can expect a reimbursement for property and for shevach. That's evidenced by the fact that when Shmuel writes up his contracts, his loan documents, so including the loan document is where the purchase contract. The seller is writing up to the buyer that I'm going to be reimbursing you for property and for shevach. So why is he writing that up in the contract? It must be because the creditor, when exercising his lien, can take property and shevach as well. And then the Gemara noted that we went into the courtroom of Shmuel and we noticed that there are times where Shmuel did in fact award the creditor the property and the shevach, and even for the wheat that was shoulder length, that was ready to be cut off, which we normally view as peros, that also was going to be awarded to the creditor. And the Gemara says, but again, in order to understand the various discrepancies in Shmuel's court, you have to know what the loan value was. If the property by itself was not commensurate to the loan value, so then Shmuel is going to be awarding both property and shevach to the creditor. And if the property by itself is going to be good enough to satisfy the loan value, so then we'll allow the buyer to keep the shoulder high produce.